So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, verse 20. He gathered the prophets together upon Mount Carmel. And, you know, Ahab wasn't afraid. He knew that this one man, Elijah, couldn't do anything. And Elijah came unto all the people and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word.
Yeah.
They weren't going to argue with him. Well, of course, God is the only true God. But in practice, we're going to keep the Baals. You know, we like to go and hear sermons on serving the Lord God, but when it comes to life, we'd rather still keep the Baals. Amen? Now, that was a little weak. Amen?
Amen?
No, it works. It's practical. What makes you think that God is practical? One thing about our God is he's a delayer. When you call upon God, he doesn't answer. But we have pills that will answer right away. We have friends we can call right away. We have other things that will serve quicker than God. How many know that? Our God is a slow God. Have you met that kind of God? You call out to God and he doesn't do what you say right away because you cannot manipulate this God. He's never late. He's always on time, but it's not our time. Therefore, the Baalim come in handy. They sort of are cooperative because they're our own gods. The Baalim were made up gods. They were the gods of the people. They were built on our imagination. Baal wasn't a real god. He didn't make the rain rain and the rain not rain. So Elijah said, call all the people. Then said Elijah unto the prophet, unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. I'm the only good guy. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now he was wrong. Actually, there were many other prophets of the Lord. Elijah was not the only true prophet. But it sometimes seems that way when you're declaring the word of the Lord, when you're in your business, or when you're out in the world, it sometimes seems like you're the only prophet of the Lord. But you're not. Don't worry. There's 700 others that haven't bent the knee, they haven't bowed down to the Baal. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, since they have 450, and let them choose one of the bullocks. They can have first choice. Cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. I'll dress the other bullock, whatever's left over, give me the leftovers. I'll lay it on the wood, I'll put no fire under mine. Then you call on the name of your God, your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Now, another thing about Baal was he was also the god of lightning. He was the god that could send down lightning to the earth, which could set fields afire or trees or whatever. And so we were on Baal's territory. Baal is the rain god. We're also on Baal's territory. Baal is the fire god. He was the god of war, and he was the god of fire. He could send thunderbolts down. In the Scandinavian countries, they call him Thor. And in each country, he has a different name, but he's the same god. The gods have not changed. They're the same in the world over today. And so he said, if Baal can send down fire, we'll put him on the spot. If you can call upon your God, not just sovereignty. You know, a lot of Christians have a sovereign God. They believe that God will heal if he wants to. They believe that things will go well when he wants to. They believe that, you know, we'll just kind of pray and throw some prayers up there. And then if it's up to God's sovereignty, sometime he'll do it. I want to tell you something. God is a sovereign God. But sovereignty is even true for the world. But for children, we must be able to call upon our God and he will answer. You see the difference? Of course God is sovereign. Of course he'll heal when he wants to. Who can stop the sovereign God from working? But that doesn't prove whether he's God or Baal. Because whenever it rained, they said Baal did it. When it didn't rain, they said, well, I guess Baal's mad at us. That's like reading the horoscope and it says, today's your lucky day. And, you know, you look around for something good and say, see, it came true. And something bad happens, you say, well, that's not it yet. That was just in your imagination. Baal is not God. There aren't any other gods. But we can make up in our minds something that seems to be so. And when it happens, we always say, there, that's it. We're just saying it. Now let's find out who is really God. So God says, I'm tired of words. I'm tired of Baal boasting. Let's find out what is Baal's big shot. What's his strong point? Lightning. Well, let's try him out then. So Elijah said, all right, you build an altar. I'll build an altar. You put your a bullock on there, cut him up. I'll put mine on there. And whichever one answers by fire, that will be the Lord God. Call ye on the name of your gods, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And that'll be the end of it. Now again, he's not talking to the Canaanites. Let the world have its witchcrafts. We're not talking about the world. We're not addressing the world. We're talking about the church. There's nothing wrong with the world being worldly. Hello. Let the world be worldly. Why are you surprised that the world is worldly? It's the church that we're having problems with. The agenda for growth is the agenda for purity. And purity begins in the people of God. If God be God, then serve Him all the way. People said it's well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose now your bullock, dress it first, for ye are many. You've got more than we've got. The world has many more than we've got. Call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. They took the bullock which was given them. They dressed it, called on the name of Baal from morning until noon. So let's say that's about 6 hours. Could have been a little later in the morning, but morning generally started at 6. Got up early. So from morning until noon. So at least several hours. And this is what they said. Oh, Baal, hear us. Got to shout loud for Baal to hear you. Oh, Baal, hear us. You know, and there was this droning of 450 Baal priests. In fact, there were 850 of them calling upon the name of their God. They were also the priests of Ashtoreth. That was the female deity that went along with Baal. But there was no voice, nor any that answered, and they leaped upon the altar which was made. Now, to say leaped upon the altar, it means they began to cut themselves. This was part of their ritual, as they would jump up on the altar and cut themselves and attract their God. Fire, the blood would attract their God. And surely, if you met that condition, Baal would answer. If you indicated to him that you would bleed for him and that you would sacrifice for him, then Baal surely would answer. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah began to mock them. And he cried aloud. He said this in a very loud voice. For he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. So Elijah began to say, hey, what's wrong with your God? Where is he? Why doesn't the pills work? Why don't your friends answer you? How come the world can't save you and deliver you? Where are the heroes, the gods, the Goliaths, the answerers, the scientists, the politicians? Where are those that are going to answer you? And Elijah began to mock them. Now, it's one thing to say the world is wrong, but it's another thing to mock the world. And actually to say, put up or die. You either have it or you don't. How many here know that you can do that in your office, in your neighborhood, wherever you are? Are you willing to be an Elijah who says, my God can answer by fire? My God can demonstrate what I preach. My God is a good God, and He will do all that I ask Him to do. Will God do what you ask Him to do? Or is He so sovereign that He'll only do what He wants to do? You say, well, that sounds right. God wouldn't do something you wanted Him to do. Then how is it that you are children? How is it that Christ is in you? If Christ is in the heavens, then He's not in you. Is Christ in you? Have you been joined to Christ? Are your prayers not the prayers of God? Where do your prayers come from? Is it not God? Is God answering a prayer that I give to Him? Or is it God's prayer in the first place that He's answering? Is it not that we take back to God the very words of God so that He does them? We don't wait upon the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God has come inside of us that we might step out and say, God, do this, and He does it. Now that's God. That is God. Most of us are used to the God that's upstairs. The man upstairs. The one who comes through every once in a while. Especially if we're nice. We leap upon the altars. Call out to Him. Listen. Because you're born again, you have a God that answereth by fire. You can call upon God and He will answer you. Hello. Have you put your life on the line? Have you found out whether you have such a God? Or do you still worship the Baaling? And then declare it's God. And it came to pass at noon, He began to mock them, and they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner in knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering, of the evening sacrifice. I tell you, right now, the world is prophesying. The Freuds, the Darwins, the Carl Sagans, whoever it is that are the major voices of the day, they're prophesying, they're talking, they're giving out words, and the church is listening. The church has listened to Freud. The church has listened to Darwin. The church has listened to Sagan. The church is listening. The church ought to have one voice it listens to, God and God alone. Not to borrow the insights of psychology or sociology or anyology. Hello? Are you listening? Does God need help from Balaam? Does he need the insights of psychology? Has he in fact given Freud insights? Absolutely not. You say, but it seems to me that people have been helped. It seemed to the Baalite worshipers that Baal answered by fire and that he sent the rains. Is God God or not? Are you ready to go all the way or part way? Are you afraid of, intimidated by the world and its prophets and priests? And they prophesied until the evening. They went from noon and now they're going to evening. They're keeping, boy, you can just see Elijah, you know. You know, he's there with his peanut butter sandwich for lunchtime, and they're still going on. He gets up and mocks them after lunch. They're still going on. They're prophesying. They're declaring what wonderful things God, their gods, will do. Do you believe there's hope in this world? I tell you, this world is doomed. It has no future. There is only a future for the children of God. There is only, I'm just telling you what's going on. I don't care about what's happening in the TV and what's happening in nations. There is only one thing on the agenda of this world. It's the church of Jesus Christ. This church is not done. This church that I'm talking of, the bride of Christ, she has not come forth. She is today crippled. She is limping along with two opinions. She is pagan. She is worldly. Her day is coming. So Elijah said, look, let's have no more talking. Let's have no more prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice. That was at 3, I believe. That there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor none that regarded. So the Baalim weren't coming through. They weren't keeping their promises. You know, anybody can make a promise, but only God can keep His promises. Any gods out there can say, this will happen if you do this. These test tube things that we're doing now. This particular computer. These robots are going to do this. This is going to happen. It'll be a better day tomorrow. I want to tell you something. There are no better days, except in the kingdom of God. There is no progress. There is no evolution. It is a lie. There is no forward advancement. The civilization is not going forward. You may believe it is. It's the biggest lie of the age. There is no evolution. There is no advancement. There is no progress. Everybody feels, well, maybe tomorrow the doctors are going to come up with some cure for cancer. That's progress. I tell you, if they come up with a cure for cancer, they'll come up with 7 deadlier diseases than cancer. You will not progress. It is written. There is only progress in the kingdom of God. There is only advancement in the kingdom of God. Don't be under the illusion that things are going to change. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing will change. Do you believe that? Your minds must be renewed. The world has been under the illusions of the modernists and the liberalists and so on and so forth for centuries, yea, since the beginning of time. And Elijah said to the people, now, you've seen what the world can do. You've seen what Pharaoh has. You've seen what the Baalim can do. Now come unto me. Draw near to me. I want everyone to come over here. Is the church ready to say, come and see? Remember Jesus said that to his disciples? They said, we've heard a lot of things. Come and see. A living demonstration of the kingdom of God. Are we that living demonstration? Can the world come and say, this is where the power of God is. This is where the love of God is. This is where the joy of the Lord is. This is where God is. Is this indeed the dwelling of God? Come and see. We are it. We are not just declaring words. We are the living reality, a demonstration, a working model of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to see heaven, come amongst us. Could the world come amongst us and see heaven? If not, it's because we're still limping along with two opinions. Amen? This is an exciting word. This is not a depressing word. This is an exciting word. It's not a depressing word. I'm just telling you how things are. And Elijah, listen, this is what he did. He said, come unto me. And all the people came near to him. This is so important. And he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. Did Elijah build a new altar? No. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. God doesn't want us to build a new denomination, a new work, a new deal. He wants us to repair the altar of the Lord, which was broken down. The fields are barren. The church is dead. Even if you see life here and there, don't regard it. It can be drummed up. It's true. God has witnesses in every generation. It's true. There are signs of life here and there. But don't be fooled. That's nothing. God has not yet acted. Those are sovereign movements. They're a little bit built on this and that, but you have not yet seen the Lord God act. Do you believe that? He repaired the altar of the Lord. That is, the old ways are still the best ways. The ways of the Lord, the bride of Christ, I don't care what she looks like today, she looks like a whore. The bride of Christ looks broken, beaten down. That must be repaired. Nothing new. If we have a new message, it's not God. The altar of the Lord, the old pattern, must be restored, reestablished, built up again. That is the secret to success. And Elijah took 12 stones, representing the 12 tribes, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. 12 always means the church, whether the Old Testament or the New Testament. Unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. In other words, Israel, if you listen to the broadcast Saturday, Israel means prevailer. The one who wrestles with God and prevails. Are we Jacob or are we Israel? Are we still Jacob who is cheating, fleshly, carnal, worshiping the Baalim? Or are we Jacob who has become Israel, transformed by the blood of Jesus, transformed into the children of God, pure, not any longer broken down, but now repaired? Do we prevail in this world? Do you prevail at your job? Do you prevail in your neighborhood? Do you prevail in your family? Are you a prevailer? Are you always in victory? Answer? How about by faith? That's good. The reason if you are not walking that way is because you are walking like this. Did you immerse yourself 7 times last week? Have you been in the Word day and night? Did you cut off from all your family? 2 weeks ago, the Lord told us to let go. Last week, He told us to immerse ourselves. This week, He says, no longer limping along with 2 opinions. We have a long way to go, but we must go all the way. In the next few months, God willing, there may not be that time, but in the next few months, if God willing, we are going to go from Egypt through the wilderness into the land of Canaan, into the Philistine land, all the way to Rome. Until you understand that God intends us to go all the way, I will explain the whole Old Testament. I will share with you with insight that God has given me into the Scriptures, so that when you read the Bible, it will open up to you. I will share what God told me to share with you. We are going to go all the way. We will not stop with a victory in the wilderness. We will not stop at Mount Sinai. We will not stop at Mount Calvary. We will not stop at Zion. We will not stop until we take the world and all that has been paid for, which Jesus won on the cross 2,000 years ago, which we are now to enter into. Amen? All the way. We can stop off at 100 places, 1,000 places. They'll be attractive places. But God says, I want a people that will go all the way, limping along no longer with 2 opinions but 1. Now, this is not going to be pleasant. If you want the goodies, go somewhere else. They have goodies in other places. You can get them cheaper. The wilderness, you can wander around forever, around the law. A lot of churches are into the law. You can wander in Canaan land if you want to, among the Canaanites. You can wander in the Philistine land if you want to, get into healing and so on and so forth. Power, miracles. But I tell you, God wants us to take Rome. Jesus said, go ye therefore unto all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We have not yet gone into all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching those same people to do. The children of God don't even do the works of God. Jesus said, greater things than these will ye do, because I go to the Father. Have we done all the miracles of Jesus? We are to do greater things. We are to go to the far extent of the earth, whether by our prayers or by action or word or tapes, I don't care how, we are to go. We will go. This day will come. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Dug a big trench around it, taking a disadvantage. He put wood in order, cut the bullock in pieces, laid them on the wood. Fill four barrels of water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So Elijah was taking every disadvantage. I tell you, let us have disadvantages. I don't care if we miss everything, we still win if we have one God. You have two gods, you'll lose with computers, with robots, with 10,000 Yale graduates. You know, you don't need them. All you need is the Word of God. Let go of your family, immerse yourself in the Word, and have one God, and you will go the whole way. This is what God is looking for. And he said, do it the second time. So they poured water on the second time. Do it the third time. They did it the third time. The water ran around the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Now, water is everywhere. Now, it's hard to light a fire in water. Have you ever tried? It's just hard to get that thing going. You know, you strike your match and so on. So they are going to see. Now, they don't have any matches, but God has a big heavenly match, either the Baalim or God. Now, the Baalim, they had the advantage because their bullock was dry. Their trench was dry. Their wood was dry. They got the best wood. You can almost see them give that part to Elijah. It's green. You ever burn green wood, you know? And they gathered him and said, look, we brought you some wood. You don't have to get your own. You know? And they took the dry wood. God said, put the water on the green wood. I mean, make it wet. Soak it. Because this is a miracle. We're not talking about an earthly God. We're talking about a God who's a real God. A God who answers by fire. Do you believe God can do the impossible? God only does the... He doesn't do the possible. The possible happens for everyone. Everybody can have the possible. But when God acts on our behalf, it's always impossible. The possible doesn't prove anything. So it rains someday. That isn't Baal that did it. That's just possible. God rains on the just and the unjust. If the sun rises again tomorrow morning, that isn't Ra, the sun god. That's just the sun rose. Because God rose the sun. You can't tell because it's just the possible. But when the impossible happens, when God stops the sun, turns back the clock, that's God. Any God can make the sun rise. Any God can make it rain. But only our God can stop the rain and start the rain on time. Only our God can stop the sun and make the sun go ahead. We have the God who is the real God. And you must learn that, not by words, not by sermons, but in your own life. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, about three as I said, that Elijah the prophet came. By the way, that's when Jesus was crucified. That Elijah the prophet came near, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, very historical God, very simple prayer, no knife cutting, no jumping on the altar, didn't even raise his voice. Let it be known this day that our God, that thou art God in Israel, because that's all the issue is. The only issue is who's God? And that I am thy servant. Now that's important because when I call upon God that you would be healed, it's important that God say, yes, this is my servant. I will do as he says. Because it's you who are asking, I will do it. God confirms the words of his servants. It isn't because you have a magic formula like Christian Science that learns how to get people healed and they learn four verses and say them over and over again like a mantra or like Unity that develops a deal. They got a good deal. It isn't science. It isn't some kind of, you do this and God will do that. Look, this is a personal relationship. God looks down not to see if you've said the right scripture verses or if you've met the formula or found the principle. You will be successful if you learn the principles of the kingdom. That's not God. Listen, God is looking for a people that know him personally, that are his people, that he can reward them. There's a difference. It's a big difference. It's extremely important. The agenda for growth is the agenda of purity. If you want to grow, and we will, it's because we will limp along no longer. But we'll have one God. I tell you, this building, within a few months, won't be able to contain the people if we put away the gods, if we establish our hearts, if we begin to go the whole way and meet the conditions of God, exactly the word that Ruth brought. If you obey, then you will see incredible things. We'll dig a trench around it. And that I am thy servant. Not only that you are the Lord, but that I am thy servant and that I have done all these things at thy word. You might have thought, well, maybe Elijah made this stuff up. Maybe he set this thing up artificially. You know, you can act in presumption. You can set God up. God heal so-and-so, you know. And there they are. God heal so, you know. And maybe you say it differently. You know, it doesn't matter how loud you are or how much you dance around. Heal, you know. You don't want to add anything to it. Either God is God or he's not. the amount of fluctuation in your voice or the quivering or whatever, that adds nothing to it. Elijah did nothing tricky. You know, get that kind of preacher voice, you know. That does not make for miracles. What makes for miracles? Faith in the Word of God. God spoke to him, told him what to do, he did it, and it happened. There's nothing wrong with yelling and quivering and so on. I'm just telling you that in itself does nothing. It's only obedience to the Word of God. This is what he said. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord and that thou hast turned their heart back again. In other words, the whole purpose of this is that the people will stop rebelling, that they'll turn their hearts back again. Listen. Then the fire of the Lord fell. That was about I should have counted. It's about three sentences, maybe four. I think three sentences, a three-sentence prayer. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offerings and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I mean, when God does a thing, he does it. In other words, he not only answered by fire, but a little P.S. on it. Yeah, this is me. It's a sure sign when God acts that there's always a spillover. There's always something extra. If you ask God for a fish, he'll give you something extra, a little dessert to go along with it. That's the kind of God we have. He doesn't just answer your prayer. He always multiplies something even more just to bless his name, just to magnify his name, just to tell you, people, something has happened. You won't get God to do it unless God already knows ahead of time something's going to happen. God knew those people would turn. Then the fire of the Lord fell. It did all that it did. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the Lord God. He is God. And Elijah said unto them, now take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. They took them and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and he slew them there. You may find that a little cruel. Not at all. God is serious about sin. God is serious about the prognosticators, the prophets and the priests of this world, they must die. Now, it's God's desire that we die by becoming believers. But if you do not become a believer, then you just die. And so Elijah slew all of these false prophets that were televising and they were on, you know, the local radio station in Canaan there. He said, I don't want their voice to go forth any longer. This is the end. That's it. And Elijah himself, he knew better than ask anybody else to do it, he killed all of them. He slew them. And Elijah then said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain when you purify yourself. Now watch. Elijah spoke boldly in faith long before there was any power. Then came the power. He obeyed. He spoke. Then he obeyed. Then came the power. After the power, he then killed all the priests, which is purity. In other words, when you see the power of God, you will purify yourselves. You will not do it. I know what you're made out of. I know myself. You're that kind of people. Even if you're born again, there's a flesh in you that will not purify itself completely until you see the fire fall. Then you will purify yourselves and say, the Lord, he is God. And you will slay the prophets of Baal. They won't be slain just because we say so and you say amen. They'll be slain when you see the power of God. That's when they'll be slain. Then, because they purified themselves, if you believe, you will see. They began to see this, the abundant rain. I tell you, the rain is on its way. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink. In other words, have a good time. Don't moan and groan and cry over the Jezebel's people there. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, and he put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, now go up, look toward the sea, that is, toward the Mediterranean Sea. He went up, and he looked, and he said, there is nothing. Elijah told the servant, he says, okay, now we have purified ourselves, go up and look. And the servant looked, and he said, there's nothing. That's the way God is. Have you found that out? Just a few minutes ago, he answered by fire. Now you go up, and Elijah said, there's an abundance of rain. It takes faith to believe in our God. He's not playing games with us. Hang on. He just wants to test you to see if you're steadfast. Don't give up. God is going to do all that He said. Do you believe that? I've watched you people for the last couple of years. Most of you, when it doesn't happen after a month or a week, or 2 months, or even 6 months, you give up. Even if you don't give up wholly, you give up mostly. You don't keep rejoicing. You don't stand up again and say, praise God, it's going to happen. Sit down. Embarrassed. Get up the next Sunday. Praise God, it's just about to happen. Sit down. Smile on your face. The next week. Praise God, it's still going to happen. I know you haven't seen it yet, but it's going to happen. Do you have faith? Do you believe God's going to do it? It doesn't look good. He looked up in the sky. His servant said, I see nothing. There's nothing there. Where is your God, Elijah? How come you preach and nothing happens? Why do you say something's going to happen when nothing happens? And he said, go again 7 times. I tell you, until you've learned this principle of faith, that it always takes 7 times, whether you're immersing yourself in the Word or you're going out to believe in a vision that God gave you. It takes 7 times. Most of you are so hasty that if it doesn't happen in the first month or so, you become depressed or you run off and buy your ticket. God told me I'm going to be a missionary. I'm going to be one. I'm going to tell the church today I'm ready to be a missionary. Wait. Don't run off. Don't go to school. Just wait. Wait until God tells you step by step. Just look. Just for 7 times, put your eyes into the heaven and see nothing. Put your eyes in the heaven and see nothing. Put your eyes in the heaven and see nothing. See nothing. See nothing. See nothing. See nothing. Then God will act. He's waiting until that testing time is over. I tell you, it's tough to be steadfast, to hang in there. Not he that beginneth, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. It's not he that beginneth, but he that endureth to the end. It's not the boasters that say, we'll do it. God has spoken. I know it'll come to pass. They're so boastful until they look up in the sky and see no cloud. Then they say, it's going to come to pass. The next time you see him, it's going to come to pass. The next time you see him, it's probably going to come to pass. The next time you see him, they don't talk. They don't say a word. They've already gone to another church. Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Hardly a storm cloud. A little bitty cloud coming over the sea. A little bitty thing. Everybody else would laugh at it. Say, don't even give a good report yet. It's just a little stinking cloud. Hardly enough to get excited about. Could this be God? This little cloud? Well, it's better than nothing. Like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, just because of that little cloud, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It's going to come so fast and so furious, you won't be ready. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that while the heaven was black with clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I tell you, the storm is coming. It's going to be an incredible rain. There's going to be so much fruit you won't contain it because most of you are not believers. Most of you believe only in a little bit. God's going to do a lot. If you obey the word of God, put away the gods from among you, begin to purify yourselves as he is pure, you will see such an incredible outpouring. Whether you want to see it or not, it will happen. God is going to act in mighty and powerful ways. I'm telling you the conditions. Now, I have a word from the Lord that he gave me, and I'll close with this. This is the word the Lord told me to tell you. My son, tell my people that the time is short. Tell them to be prepared for new events. Tell them not to judge by the past. I am already making new ways for my people. Those who seek me continually will hear clearly. The rest will be amazed and show resistance. You must tell the people to rise up and go forward. I will teach you all things as you obey. These are the final days of the church. I will display myself gloriously before those who have eyes to see. I will speak clearly to those who have ears to hear. Listen, follow pure doctrine. Be careful not to add to my word. Be careful not to subtract from my word. Devour the word. Tell the people to learn my word. I will open my word only to such as are serious and obedient. Tell them what I have told you. Cleanse your hands, perfect your hearts. Put away the idols among you. This is the heart of pure doctrine, to know my Son, to honor His name. I will teach such as seek me with sincere devotion. I will exalt all who humble themselves beneath my word. Get under my word. Be immersed in my word. Will I not remember my covenant to do it? What shall you do this hour? Is this not what you are asking me? What direction shall you take? Is this not what you are asking me? I will tell you what is about to take place. You must be ready to carry my word to the four corners of the world. I have prepared you for this work. I will give you words. Set your mind at ease, for I have seen those matters which lay upon your soul, and I will release you in great joy. Do not regard what you now see. You have sown in the sand, and no rains have come to bring forth the seed. My son, the desert will soon become a garden. The winter is over, the spring is now come. Tell my people that the winter is over and that the spring has now come. They do not understand the seasons. Their hearts are bitter and afraid. Tell them, my son, to rise up and go forward. The seed will now spring forth. I have ordained the spring rains for this season. Many do not understand. It is springtime in the kingdom of God. There is a spring harvest that must come forth. This is not yet the hour for the great harvest. What you have sown in tears will now spring forth while the new plants are developing in the soil. The dark continent will become the light continent. It is the springtime of my harvest. Go tell them the season, my son, that they may be ready. I am sending other servants to other continents. Do not despise the day of small things. I am watching now to see the spring harvest come forth. Do as you are told. Are these not days of rejoicing for the children of God? There is more to come for those who delight in the hour of the spring feasts. This is the last word. I will purify my church before I reap the great harvest of the world. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you have spoken to us a living word, that we might go forward accurately with great bounty. Indeed, the rains are about to come. Lord God, we thank you that you are the God who answereth. You are the God that keeps your covenant. You are the God that answers your children. Our tears have gone out. They've risen up into heaven. Our intercessions have come before thee like a mist. And now it's time to release the power of God upon the earth. That the sand which was barren, that the desert that did not sprout, may now bring forth abundantly. And that we may be amazed at our God who is glorifying himself even this day. I thank you, Lord God, that these are words today and there's not a cloud in the sky. I thank you that today the desert is a desert. I thank you that today we've dug a trench and poured water upon it. I thank you that we've buried ourselves in great disadvantage. I thank you, Lord God, that your word looks ridiculous and foolish. I thank you that there is nothing to encourage us. I thank you, Lord God, that you are calling forth a people who will believe and who will begin to sow tears into the soil, will begin to put away the gods, put away the idols of their family, to put away all that would compromise. I thank you that today we have heard a word which we will not enact at once to put away all that causes us to limp. I thank you that you are calling us, Lord God, to behold, to look, to see what God will do. For the hour has come and the challenge has gone forth. Baal will be exposed and all his prophets. The word of the Lord has spoken. And thank you, Lord God, that you are about to glorify yourself, that all the world may know that there is a God
in that he has servants. Then the world will have no excuse before your return. This is the spring harvest, Lord God. You have told us what season it is. It is not the time of the great power. It is not the time of the great fall harvest. That is yet to come. I thank you, Lord God, for the gentle spring rains now that are even now coming down from heaven as we meet the conditions that we might behold and see wondrous things on the earth so that all the world may glorify thy name in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.